I say Jordan Foster. It might be Foster Jordan. I don't know. But he was a black gentleman that I was so intrigued with and so admired. And what intrigued me about him is that shortly after I was saved, I got into tracts. Barry would appreciate this. Passing out tracts. I just had tracts everywhere I went, and we mailed them literally by the thousands. And a friend of mine that was part of a Bible study group that we started over in Illinois worked with Jordan Foster. I'm not even sure if it's Foster Jordan or Jordan Foster. I think it's Jordan Foster. And he told me, he said he never heard anybody quote the Bible like he did. And I was interested in that. And I had the privilege of meeting him on a couple of occasions. He was in the hospital one time, and I heard that he was, and my friend and I went to see him, and we were in the hospital, and he communicated the Word of God so naturally, as like some people talk about the weather or their new car or something. He communicated the gospel, it seemed, under any circumstance with anybody at any time. And we were in the hospital, and they had just drawn blood, and the nurse had got the vial and was taking it out. And he said to her, he goes, "That's just pretty important, isn't it?" And she goes, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "You kind of need that." And he said, "Kind of precious, isn't it?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, it's pretty precious." And she said, "Let me tell you about blood more precious than that." And that naturally, he was going into the communication of the gospel with this nurse that had come in to take care of him. I got to know him a little bit, not as well as I would have liked. I lived in Illinois, he lived in St. Louis, and we didn't get together often. But he invited me to come and speak at his church. And I remember it was not in the best neighborhood. I think it was kind of in North St. Louis. And I happened to be driving a 69 Camaro at the time, canary yellow, black vinyl top. I was young. And Mindy and I, Andy was not yet born, and Mindy and I went, and Jean and Barb, our friends, the friend by which I knew him, went. And when we pulled up to the church, which was in, I was not at all familiar with the city. It was not, I didn't have kids living in the city at the time, so I couldn't tell you one neighborhood from another. I just knew how to get there and did. And we're going into church, and the first thing, a gentleman came up to me and said, "That's your car out front?" "Yeah." And said, "Could I have your keys?" And I'm going to church. I'd never been in before. Somebody said, "Can I have your keys?" And I said, "What for?" He said, "Well, I'm going to have my son sit in your car." And I said, "Okay, and why?" He said, "You wanted to be there when the service is over." I said, "Oh, here's my keys." You know? So anyway, it was a very interesting gathering. But afterwards, we had a wonderful, wonderful time. And the reason he invited me there, he called me the track man. He said, "The track man." He says that he distributes so many tracts, he mails tracts, and that's really how my ministry began, and I'm thankful for that. I'm not proud of that. I'm thankful for that, and the reason I passed out tracts and distributed tracts is because I was too afraid to say anything. You know, I just was timid, and just was not vocal in my communication of the gospel with other people. And finally I said to the friend who was with me, I'm telling you about, and I said, "We can't be undercover agents the rest of our life." I said, "We have to learn to give a verbal testimony for the Lord." And we grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and had opportunity to do that. I come back to Jordan Foster, who ministered in that church, and after the service I said to him, I never heard about anybody communicate the Word of God like you do. I just have never heard anybody communicate the Word of God like you do. How do you do that? Very humbly, he just kind of put his head down. And he said, well, I'm kind of familiar with the New Testament. I said, I can tell that. He said, I read it every month. And he read the New Testament every month. Every month. And, you know, like they said of Charles Wesley, somebody said, oh, the Wesley brothers, if you cut them, they bleed Bible. Well, Jordan Foster was like that. And I determined then that by the grace of God, that given the opportunity, I was going to do that. And for a couple of years, I did. And what a difference it makes in your knowledge of the Word of God and the ability of the Spirit of God to take it and use it in the lives of those that He brings you to be encounter with in the course of a day. I'm saying all of this for that. Usually, New Year's, we talk about, let's read our Bible reading plan. Read our Bible. I don't care what plan you've got, just so you've got a plan. Whether it's read through the Bible in a year, whether it's a read through the New Testament every month. I don't do that anymore every month. I do, in the interest of full disclosure. I'm trying to do it in January, I might say. That's why it's on my mind. But get into the Word of God. You cannot communicate what you do not know. You cannot share what you cannot remember. Get into the Word of God. It is the most important thing that you can do, not only for your own spiritual growth and edification, but for your communication of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is your ministry. Simple as that. It is your ministry. It's your tools, it's your weapon, it's your food, it's your light. Get into the Word of God. If you make any resolution or any resolve, determination, or decision, get into the Word of God more faithfully than in the years past. And your work and your witness will be well served. All of that said to say, I want to talk about Jesus this morning. And I want to talk about Jesus for the next couple of weeks. You know, it's so easy. And those of you who have been involved in church all of your life, it's so easy to talk about the Bible. It's so easy to talk about Jesus. It's so easy to allude to Jesus. It's so easy to talk around Jesus. It's so easy to assume everybody knows what you're talking about. And the fact of the matter is, there was a time in your experience when you knew about Him or heard about Him or thought you knew about Him, but you didn't know Him. You didn't understand Him in a personal relationship. So at the beginning of this new year, for a couple of weeks anyway, I want to focus on the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, can we do that together? And I want to do it this beginning this morning from the Gospel of Mark. And I look at the time and it rushes on. And if you guys weren't taking so much of my time at the beginning of this service, we'd have more time. But we're going to begin in the Gospel of Mark, okay? And we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and look at Him, I hope, in a little more detail than we would normally in a casual reading of the Word of God. In Mark chapter 1, and if you would turn there, please. The most important thing that I'm going to say this morning in our time together is what I'm going to say right now as you follow along in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now, John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Let's look at what the Word of God has to say about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ as we see it from the pages of the Gospel of Mark. Can I put a footnote before I move on about the reading of the Word of God? I know that a lot of Bible reading plans in the church that we now attend puts out a Bible reading plan that you read through the Bible every year. Okay, that's great. If that's your plan, use your plan. If you don't have a plan, get one. And so read through the Bible in a year. That's a good thing, but it always grieves me a little bit because we have a plan to read through the Bible in a year. We erroneously think it takes a year to do it. I know kids in the church where a new novel in a new series, a popular series, come out, a book, you know, like this, you know, a thick book, they sit down and they read right through that thing as fast as they can. The Bible is smaller than that. I encourage you with this. You can read through, and I've told you before, I will remind you again, like Peter, these things I call to your remembrance, that you can read through the entire Word of God at pulpit rate, just as I was reading here, in 72 hours. In 72 hours, you can read through the entire Word of God. Don't be intimidated by a Bible reading plan to read through in a year. You just sit down and read, and how quickly or how slowly is up to you. Just read the Word of God. Would you please, especially this year? A couple of things we want to look at. Let's get introduced a little bit to Mark himself as he writes about the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark is one of the obscure individuals of the New Testament. And one of the reasons for that is his name. His name actually is John Mark. And sometimes we're confused who we're talking about in the New Testament. He is often referred to numerous times as John, whose surname was Mark. And sometimes I think Mark kind of skips our attention because we'll see him as John and not realize we're talking about Mark here. So let me give you a thumbnail introduction to him and the ones whose words we are going to be reading here for the next couple of weeks. His name is John Mark. John, which comes from Johann, means that God is gracious. And that's his Jewish name. But he also had a surname, Mark, which was his Roman or Latin name, and that means warlike. And so he has a Jewish name, and he has a Roman name, or a Greek name, if you will. So we need to identify him as John, surname Mark, or John Mark. Okay? He is the son of Mary. In Acts chapter 12, verse 12, and you need to see who this Mary is. Go to Acts chapter 12, verse 12, if you will. In Acts 12, 12, we find that she was a prominent Christian leader. Find Acts 12, 12. Let's see. In Acts 12, 12, so when Peter is being released from prison, He had been in prison. The people gathering in Mary's house were praying for him. And when Peter gets out of prison, he doesn't even know for sure that he isn't dreaming or having a vision. But when he is out in the street and he realized, in fact, that he has been set free, in verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, he said, "Now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people." Peter comes out, okay, this is not a dream, I'm free. Where does he go? He goes to a familiar place in verse 12. "So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and many were gathered there praying." I always think it's kind of funny, amusing, that in verse 13, when he knocked on the door of the house church, a girl was sent to the door to answer the door, and it says in verse 13, "And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her gladness, she did not open the gate." She was so excited. We're praying for him to get out of prison. He's standing at the door at the outside gate, but she doesn't unlock the gate to let him in, but ran and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, "No, you're crazy." Well, that's not exactly what they said, but that's what they meant. They said, "You are beside yourself." Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, "No, it's his angel." Now Peter's out there continually knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. I always think it's amusing that they were astonished that their prayer was answered. And their answer to the prayer is standing at the door, and they let him in. But the point I'm trying to make in verse 12 is that Mary, whose house it was, her son was John, whose surname was Mark. Now, it is believed by some, only tradition, we cannot prove it from the scripture. It is believed by some that in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, this house might have been the house where the upper room was when Jesus said, "Go and prepare a place that we are going to celebrate the Passover together." Tradition says that it was Mary's house. We don't know that for sure. What we do know for sure in Acts chapter 12, verse 12, is that Mary was wealthy enough to own a house that could accommodate the early church there in the city. So it's rather interesting that John Mark would have been central to all of this coming and going of the early church and witness to some of the things recorded in the New Testament. His cousin was a well-known individual, Barnabas. Barnabas, the son of consolation, or the great encourager. In fact, he had a key role in the ministry of John Mark when the Apostle Paul and John Mark had a parting of ways. And they had taken him along on a missionary journey in Acts chapter 15. And as they were going ministering in the various places, they came to a point where John Mark didn't want to go anymore. Doesn't say why. He doesn't say, was he sick? Was he homesick? Was he not agreeing with what was going on? What? We don't know why. But he decided to go back to the city of Jerusalem. Later, when they had an opportunity to work together again, the division between Paul and Mark was so great, he said, "I don't want to take him." And Barnabas said, "I'll take him." And finally, at the end, when Paul writes his prison epistles, there was a reconciliation. And he mentioned in his letter that John Mark was important to him. So whatever the difference is, we don't know for sure, but there was a reconciliation, and we are glad for that. So John Mark is a more prominent individual than our reading might suggest to us, because he is often confused because of the name John and his surname Mark. But let's look very quickly this morning, and we got 5 minutes here. Let me outline what we are going to do, and then, Lord willing, on the next time, come back and work through it together. Beginning of the year, I'm on your insert. We're going to look at the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what we want to see in Mark chapter 1 this morning is that there are four voices that introduce Jesus Christ to us. I am not much into the political scene or that kind of thing. I occasionally watch the headlines. That's about the extent of it. But I know in a presidential year and political conventions and all of that, you see something like this. When the prominent, whether it's the candidate or whether it's the president, there's a kind of a process that sometimes goes where a person will come and give an introduction. The bigger the event, the more important the name. Sometimes there are numerous introductions, okay? Now, one will come and give a little statement introducing the next person who will make a statement, who will introduce the next person, who will finally introduce the main speaker. If you're following this, you've seen this. Kind of what we have here. Usually, in that scheme of things, each voice is a little bit more important, a little more influential, until the last voice that we have. That's exactly what we find in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, there are four voices to introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to outline them for you here. There is first, and you see him there, there is first the voice of Mark himself as he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Then there are two Old Testament prophets that are alluded to in Mark chapter 1, and we're going to come back the next time, and we're going to look at that in detail. They allude to yet another speaker, another introducer. And they both, Malachi and Isaiah, make reference to the forerunner, which is John the Baptist. And John the Baptist comes on the scene, and then he makes his introduction himself. And it is a very important and impressive introduction. And then, by the time we're through verse 11, we have the most important voice, the most influential voice, and the most credible voice, and the most powerful voice is God Himself. God Himself introduces His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we have four voices in Mark chapter 1 that introduce the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we come back next time, we're going to go in detail and look at every one of those voices. But the most important thing is what John the Baptist says, "Behold, what? The Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sin of the world." And that's where we're headed. It's not just enough to know of Christ, about Christ, something historically about Christ. The most important thing is that we know the Lamb of God, as we just commemorated here this morning in the communion table, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I know of no better way to start the new year than to begin a study examining the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'll stand, I'm going to ask Dick, would you please dismiss us in prayer? Okay, he's going to pray, then we're going to sing. So, would you please?
Heavenly Father, we are mindful of your word and mindful of the truth that is presented. And we're thankful for our brother this morning. Kind of direct us now as we leave this place and cause us to be mindful that the word of God is applicable today and very, very deep. halfway, and we need to be on base. Thank you now. Asking it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Dick. Remain standing, please.